Random thought. Why do people ask trick questions instead of just getting straight to the point? Like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow around 3 o'clock? Now, the answer could be nothing, which is exactly what I want to do tomorrow around 3 o'clock. Not when you go, oh, well, you know, I've got to move all the heaviest furniture I own. Can you help? You know, get straight to the point. Hey, I got to move some furniture tomorrow. Are you available to help at 3 o'clock tomorrow?
Yeah.
Get straight to the point. Don't come and, you know, ask what I'm doing, because what if I don't feel like doing anything? I've been busting my ass all week. I just want to sit down and relax. So don't ask the trick questions. That's like when they walk into my office. Hey, you busy? Trick question. What do you want?
You're like, yes, you know I'm busy. But you're 100% right. My thing is, if someone asks me, what are you doing tomorrow on 3 o'clock? Well, it depends. What do you need?
Yep.
I like to do that, because let's just, especially if they're asking me to help them move, man. I retired from helping people move when I turned 28. I was like, I'm done. And I just don't do it. I'll chip in here. Here's $50 for the U-Haul. Hope that helps. I'll Venmo you. Moving stuff around. No, not a big fan of that, but you're right. People do that all the time. You know, especially when they're like way out. That's what I hate. Hey, what are you doing? You know, Saturday the 28th at 5 p.m. I'm like, shit, I don't know what I'm doing. And if I say right now, nothing. Now I feel obligated, especially if it's like for a cause. That's the other thing. It's like, what are you doing tomorrow at 3? Oh, nothing. Well, me and some friends, we're going to go down to the shelter and feed someone. You're like, damn it. I should go, but I don't want to go anywhere. But I already said I'm not doing anything. So now I look like a total asshole. I'm like, oh, you want me to go help feed? Yeah, no, I got plans.
Oh, look what happened. I think my iron will be on at that time.
Oh, wait. Hold on. I'm just getting a text. I'm going to... Oh man, I got to work tomorrow.
You know, I just
come in. They want me to come in at 3. Man, I wish I could help.
Do you have a better offer? Would you like the counter offer on what you want to do at 3? Oh my God. Welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Jess Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and just overheard two people having some crazy random conversations?
Yeah, like this one.
Like all of ours.
Exactly. We are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and of course, leave a comment. Tell us what you think about the show.
Exactly. Like, one of the things we got to talk about as we get into politics as usual is the aftermath of the insurrection at the Capitol. I'm waiting to get my movie trailer voice on.
Yeah.
Insurrection at the Capitol.
It has been crazy watching all of that. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was still crazy watching January 6th. Mm-hmm. And there's new video that came out. It's about 12 minutes long. That has a whole lot more detail of what these folks were doing. It's showing video of people filtering through papers of people's desks and trying to find, like, what can we find to get on these guys? And the dude with the horns getting in Mike Pence's seat. I mean, it just shows a whole bunch of detail. You hear a lot of them chanting negative things towards the cops, yelling, shoot them with their own gun. Yep. All this stuff that we talked about last time about those people that, you know, back the blue. Apparently that's not 100% the case, but it's been crazy. But what I love has been watching all the people get caught and get arrested and acting like they did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Like, that just blows my mind. I did nothing wrong. I don't understand. The police just let us in. It's just crazy, all the different things that I've been seeing. But I love the fact that these people are getting justice. And I've been listening to other news channels, including Fox News, to hear what they're saying about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing a consistent theme across liberal media and conservative media that all those people need to be held accountable. And I'm like, finally, we all agree on something.
Yeah, it's about time. And, you know, the interesting thing, like you just said, about those people are like, well, what did I do wrong? I mean, I don't understand why people are calling me a traitor. And okay, let's go back in time. Mm-hmm. Let's take a journey through time, right? If you go back to the Revolutionary War, America was founded on treason, because mm-hmm. what was done was treason against the crown. Mm-hmm. Here is where history changes. And now you get to write the story, because you've heard the quote, many different variations of it. History is written by the hunter, not the hunted, right? Mm-hmm. So by the victor at the end of the day, which was America won. And therefore, they became heroes.
Right.
If England had won that Revolutionary War, then everyone else would have been labeled traitors. And yep. the mark and the penalty for treason was what? Death, right?
Yep.
So if you go in trying to disrupt and overthrow the government, which at the end of the day is what was happening,
yeah,
then you are part of this treason.
Yeah.
And so how are you surprised and going, well, I don't know what happened. And I think the problem that happens with this is that you have a lot of people who were treating this like they were supporting a sports team.
Right.
Right. Because you think about at games, you hear the most horrible things. People yell the worst things to NBA players because they know they can't come off the court and come and get them. They wouldn't say this to them face to face.
Yeah.
Unless they were like, well, I know I can get $2 million if they hit me. but, you know, when you're talking about football, hit them, kill them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kill the quarterback.
Yeah.
So they don't mean that. They don't necessarily mean kill the quarterback. They just mean I hit him hard, let my team win, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the mentality that was going on here for some of the people, not all of them, because there were some people who knew exactly what they were doing. This was organized. This is what we're going to do. But there right. are some that were in there that even went into the Capitol, and those are those people that are sitting around like this going, oh, look at this. Oh, look at the structure up here. Look at the design. Let me take a picture here.
Yeah.
Look at the face, the statues. Are you kidding me? But yeah. they didn't, they were just caught up in the moment. And the problem with that is if you rob the bank and I let you stay at my place, I'm going to jail with you.
Yeah.
For aiding and abetting.
Yeah.
You walked into the Capitol. Don't be surprised when they come knocking on your door.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's just, you got to check out this new 12-minute video that a journalist had put together. And in it, when they first got into the main floor,
mm-hmm.
you had a guy that was in tactical gear telling the guy to get out of Mike Pence's seat. He goes, nope, we still got to respect this building. This is an IO war. And I'm like, IO war? What are you talking about? And it was an information operations war. So he was saying the plan was to go mm-hmm. in and find information to show that either the election was stolen or different things that politicians were doing. They were raiding through Ted Cruz's information. Mm. And so I will say that within that group, you did have some people who were just protesters, supported the president, and mm-hmm. felt like they wanted to be at that rally. But then it escalates, yeah. right? And that's what happens. It escalated. And so you had some people that went and just went freaking bananas. Right. But the other thing that makes me more concerned about this, not just the fact that the police let them come in. That's kind of a beating a dead horse. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
What concerns me is some of the people that came in their tactical gear. You have the guy with the zip ties that he had. They were like looking for politicians for what they were going to do with them. If they caught him, I don't know. And the funny thing is the guy with the zip ties, he was arrested last Sunday. His mom was arrested this past Saturday, because she was also in there with zip ties. So it's a family affair, yeah. right? But you have some of these people who are just nuts, right? And it's sad to see that it's gotten to this point. And I'm highly concerned for this coming week, because I don't believe this is a one and done isolated incident. I feel like there are people who are energized, who are planning stuff. And you got to keep in mind, while all this craziness is happening at the Capitol, what could someone else be doing mm-hmm. around it? I mean, I just have a whole lot of safety concerns with this. And so I'm hoping that at the inauguration, it could be done virtual, where Biden is in one place, Kamala is in another place. Yeah. You know, I want to tell Bill Clinton, George Bush, and Barack, stay y'all's ass at home. Just watch this online. Be safe, because it just, I'm highly concerned that it got to this point, but I definitely don't believe it's over.
Well, there were pipe bombs found on January 6th at a couple different places. So, yeah, definitely a very organized event. And as more fallout, more information comes out, there'll be more fallout. Interesting was the backpedaling of prosecutors. And this is where you've got to be careful of what you do, because now the lawyers can easily use this information against them. Oh, they were planning to kidnap and assassinate senators. Then they walked that back. And it's like, don't sensationalize this. Don't bring yellow journalism into this. Let's just go with the facts, because the facts are enough to get these folks on what they did, because it was indeed an insurrection. So get them on that. Just like the same way you've got social media, which has been banning folks left and right and got folks thinking, oh, my God, it's freedom of speech. What about it? They're infringing on my freedom of speech. And I think you even covered this a little bit last week. And not so much. It's, you know, you are on somebody else's private property at that time. It's their software. It's their platform. You don't have the right to say what you want on their platform, especially, and you would know this, if you, unlike 99.9% of the rest of us who aren't lawyers, don't read the terms and conditions.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, no one reads the terms and conditions. I don't either. I just like, yeah, sure, I agree. Now, they can kick you off their platform all they want to, and you might not like it, right? That's totally fine. And what the way I'm interpreting a lot of this stuff, it's not that they're not allowing free speech. They're stopping people from free speech that invokes violence. And that's the difference. Now, I do agree with the people on the right when they said that, well, how come during a lot of the civil rights protests that happened and racial protests that happened in summer 2020, you know, they didn't stop anyone else on the left side? Granted, true, they didn't. There were a lot of people who were upset. A lot of people said a lot of angry things about police and all that type of stuff.
Do we know any of them weren't banned?
Very true. And exactly. We don't know if they weren't banned. It just wasn't anybody here. But did it happen? So in their mind, they feel like, well, why is it happening to us? Well, here's the difference. Those people didn't break into the Capitol and, you know, kill people, you know, spread feces on the walls, raid Nancy Pelosi's desk, raid Ted Cruz's desk. They didn't do that. Right. So that is the difference. And a lot of the people who have been arrested have been saying quotes like, well, the president asked me to be there. I felt like it was my duty to be there and support the president. Right. Now, Trump did not specifically say, I want y'all to come down here and tear shit up. He didn't say that. Yeah. Right. But he did motivate a lot of these people and inspire a lot of these people. And then again, it just escalates. And so what I love doing from watching this is I go to people's social media. Some of these people who've been arrested.
Yeah.
I go look at their social media. I'm like, yeah, that's some crazy shit that you're saying right there. You got the dude with the horns on his head, the QAnon believer, who come to find out is a failed actor who lives with his mom and now is in jail and won't eat because they won't give him organic.
Well, they finally decided to give him organic, didn't they? And it's like, really?
I'd let you starve. Look, here's bread. You know, I've been arrested once, DWI, total difference, spent the night in jail. And I got a nasty bologna sandwich with just white bread and meat and an orange. The orange was delicious. I didn't eat the sandwich. So he could eat the orange if need be. But not once would I be like, hey, excuse me, is this bologna organic? Do you happen to have some tofu? Is this wheat bread? Could I have wheat?
And let's be honest, if they really wanted to, they could have kicked Donald Trump off of Twitter a long time ago. They didn't because of fear of backlash and everything else. But, I mean, he has done more than enough to be kicked off of that platform. And, yes, this was the straw that broke the camel's back. And all right, we're a couple weeks out. Let's go ahead and get rid of him now. We're a couple weeks out of this, right? So that's why they did it. And they weren't the first ones to ban him. They followed suit. Twitter followed suit. But at the same time, we don't know that someone on the left wasn't kicked off because of what was said over the summer. We don't know that because we didn't have anybody as popular as Donald Trump, who the tweeter in chief, who was saying so much stuff and leading so many people and rising it up in that manner. So therefore, really, the things that he said about it, which was 10 years in prison for doing this stuff. Well, guess what? He kind of laid out the sentence for you guys of what you just did. Are you now going to abide by the rules that he set forth of this 10 years in prison?
Yeah. Now, Parler is still going, but Amazon Web Services kicked Parler off, but they're not banning them. What they're saying is Parler doesn't have any restrictions set up in place that if somebody posts some type of hate speech or speech that invokes violence, that they can take them down. So Parler was allowing people to say some of the stuff, and they started pulling up different, you know, snippets and posts of people saying things on Parler, and it was very violent. It was all about, going after Mike Pence, going after Nancy Pelosi, going after Ted Cruz, all of them. It was just kind of a mess. And so I'm hoping that it's been interesting to see a lot of these politicians on the right who are supporting what's happened and who are supporting that the president's words were what motivated this. And a lot of them are, a lot of the different governors, especially GOP governors, notice there's a lot of heightened security around all the different Capitol buildings throughout all of the country, because they're worried that there could be other type of altercations, not just in D.C.
Well, so Google Play had taken Parler out of their store, and then Apple did the same thing. And Tim Cook was on Fox News and explained why. He's like, look, we took it down because of the, what did he say? The exact words he said here. We look at the incitement to violence that was on there. We don't consider that free speech or an incitement to violence has an intersection. So he said they haven't banned them, a lifetime ban. They just, you put measures in place, we'll put it back up. And let's be very clear. In order to be in the App Store, in order to be on Google Play, you have to apply for them to put it in the store. Yeah, you can create an app all you want, but they don't have to put it in their stores for you. They don't have to put access. So you have to apply for it. If you and I create an app right now, let's do the RGRT Pod app, and we put the app together, and they can go, yeah, but we don't want to put this up here. They don't have to.
Right.
And thinking like, oh, well, they have to do this, and you have to let me speak. That's like these folks in, what was that, Salem, Oregon, who showed up at Trader Joe's
with
no mask just to go shopping. Well, you have to let us in because you're open for business. Like, no, where's this, where's it say that I have to let you in? Because there are, this is not new. The mask thing isn't new, but the fact that you have certain regulations to go in and shop is not new.
Right. It's not. And that thing in Oregon, just, it was so funny. Kudos to that store manager for holding his ground during that. But the woman that was in this face most was saying, you know, we're entitled to shop here. And I'm like, entitled? No, you're not. I'm not entitled to shop at Starbucks, you know? And so they owe me, and they have to let me in. The other funny thing is they keep throwing out, it's not a law, it's a mandate about the mask. You know, I've never seen a law that said if you don't wear shoes or shirts into an establishment, they have the right not to serve you. I've never seen a law. But in a store, I see signs, no shoes, no shirt, no service. So add masks to that. It's not that big a deal. And if you refuse to wear the mask to go shop, well, then forget you. Go shop someplace else. But these people who are trying to make a point, to me, it is just stupid and a waste of energy for them to rally that many people. And they were trying to block customers from going into the store because the manager wouldn't let them in.
Right.
And I'm just like, why are you going to this extent? You know, trying to just prove your point. You don't want to wear a mask. Awesome. Order online. You know, but why go through all this and make the store manager have to do that? I mean, like I said, he had the most calm that I've seen, because I couldn't do it. I'd have been like, look, we're closed today. Lock that bad boy up. Fine. We're closed. Yeah. Deal with it. Only open online shopping.
The one thing I will say is I have seen so much restraint and so much patience. And I always question, where's this restraint? Where's this patience when it comes to people/protesters of color? Because there's not this much restraint. The cops are called in an instant. And yet here it is taking all this time. They're blocking the store. They're stopping the flow of business. You're stopping people who were in the store from coming out. If I'm coming out, I'm like, yeah, I don't want all you people in front of me like this. Move. You know, you're disrupting everything else just for the sense. And at the same time, we look at this in the mandate, you know, no shirt, no shoes, no mask, no service, right? We get that. Is that similar to a dress code to go into an establishment? Because it really is a dress code when you think about it. But if you're going into, say, a nightclub, and you've been to clubs where they've had the dress codes, is this along the same way, or is it different, or is it the same? But we're looking at it differently because we agree with the mask.
Yeah. Oh, I think we're looking at it differently because people just don't want to wear a mask. You got some people that still think the masks don't work, and all these different things out there. So that's the problem. People just don't want to wear a mask. And again, if you don't want to, fine. They still don't have to let you in their shop. Right. And that's the thing I don't get. Why would you get as many people together and you can create your video and show it? And I think the other reason why a lot of these businesses just don't quickly call the cops on these folks, it's because of the media shitstorm that'll cause. And you don't want to be that manager of a Trader Joe's having to explain to corporate why there was a scene and an altercation on video and cops choking people out in your parking lot. Like, you don't want to have to explain that one. So I think they did a good job to try to keep it calm and peaceful. But to your point, if there's back in the day when there were clubs, or I used to go to clubs, I liked the nice club. I didn't want to go to the ones where they just let anybody in. So I didn't mind the dress code, and I abided by the dress code. But if the dress code pissed me off that much, you know what I did? I went to a different club. Like, it's not the end of the world for some of these people, but for so many folks have this entitlement mindset. It's like, I should be able to do what I want, go in how looking how I want, and say whatever I want.
Yeah.
Because that's my constitutional right. No, it's not. It's totally not.
I totally agree with you. You know, and it depends on the mood you're in, because, you know, some nights you want to be in that nice upscale environment, and some nights you just need a little ratchetness in your life.
Yeah, yeah, you just need
you need a hood rat.
Yeah, a little hood dive bar. You can just sit, listen to some old school, and sip on some dark liquor and just enjoy yourself a little bit. Then sometimes you want to put on your nice clothes and really go out. But the mindset that people have that any business or establishment, you know, owes them the right to be able to shop there, technically they don't. But so, at the end of the day, if you don't like it, go somewhere else. It's not that hard to me. I think people are just trying to make an issue. They're trying to like prove a point, which just makes them look more stupid.
Some days you want to have a beverage. Some days you want to have a drink.
Yeah.
Some days you want to have a conversation with a nice lady. And some nights you just want to scrub the ground. I feel you.
Round and round we go. Round and round we go.
We've had so much of it. At the same time, there's so much other stuff that's happening as we move forward, because there's going to be so much politics to talk about as we move forward. Let's move into For the Love of Sports. Hey, thanks for checking us out. If you haven't already, make sure you follow us and subscribe on YouTube, RGRT Pod. We've got bonus clips on there, including our Black Bachelor recaps. Yeah, we're stuck watching The Bachelor thanks to this guy over here.
This is what gets me through it. The dark.
Terrell made a deal with the devil that he would never watch The Bachelor until...
they had a Black Bachelor, and now that we do, I got to be a man of my word, and I'm going to suffer through this nightmare. I mean, this show. A very entertaining show.
So each week, we're going to be dropping episodes every Tuesday, recapping Monday's show of The Bachelor. Basically, what do we think of it? Who's going to get booted? Who we think is going to get booted? And just why the hell am I watching the show? He's the one that promised to do this, not me.
Because we're a team. Because we're a team. That's why.
Oh, let me guess. You're going to go with that stupid saying, aren't you?
Nope. I'm not going to go with the stupid saying this time.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We'll save that for the recap.
I'm going to steal it from Drumline. One band, one sound. We're a team.
Oh, shit. Check out The Bachelor recaps right here, RGRT Pod. Remember to like, subscribe, leave a comment. Tell us what you think about the show. If you're watching along with us, Drew Hawley said he was thinking about watching it. I think by the time we get to about 4 or 5 episodes in, he's going to finally watch one of the episodes. He's watching the recaps, so we're helping him out by not making him watch it. But join it. Watch it. Let us know what you think, too.
Yeah, join us. It's fun.
Every Tuesday, we'll be dropping a new episode on our YouTube page, RGRT Pod. Now back to the show. Full disclosure, we're recording this on Sunday. We're in the fourth quarter of the Browns game. So if you see me looking over the sides of the street, seeing can the Browns pull it off as Mahomes is out of the game. And of course, I'm surprised you're not in full-fledged Saints gear, because your team is coming up tonight. NFL playoffs. How you feeling? Because, you know, y'all were out of the playoffs by this time last year since we kicked y'all out. But, I mean, you know.
Yeah, so I will be in full Saints gear after this show. I have my Saints t-shirt, my Saints hoodie, and I wear these football socks on game days. So I'll have all the different things I need, just doing my part as a fan.
You got some holy water too, don't you?
Yeah. You know, I'm feeling pretty good. You know, there's nothing worse than having somebody, you know, lick the red off your candy, if you will. And my barber did that yesterday. So I'm sitting there and he's a big sports person and he likes to gamble a lot. And so I was like, hey, so who do you got in the games this weekend? If you were gambling, who would you put money on? So he was talking about him. He said, you know, I want to root for the Saints. He goes, but not many teams can beat the same team three times in a season. Mm. He goes, it's so rare that that's ever happened statistically. And sure. I was like, you son of a bitch. Why did you put that in my head? What are you thinking about it? So I'm a little bit nervous. You know, we don't have Taysom Hill this game. Which, you know, he brings a whole lot of elements. He also brings some fumbles. So maybe there's that. And we don't have Murray. But other than that, we have a full roster.
Yeah.
So it's going to be exciting. The fact that we're playing in New Orleans makes me feel good. If we were playing in Tampa Bay, I'd be nervous. And this is the last time we're going to see Drew Brees and Tom Brady go head-to-head. Ever. Right? This will be the last time this happens. So it's going to be a historic game. If this is Brees' last game, will I get emotional? Yes. Because you know he's done so much for the city with and without his racism. He's done a lot for the city.
Wait, hold up! Don't just slide right by that.
Yeah. I knew you were gonna bring it up. The whole kneeling thing, and I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I don't care. So it'll be emotional. Now, if we win, I'll be excited. You know, mm-hmm. I'll also probably be a little tipsy, but I'll start to get nervous about having to go to cold ass Green Bay and play Aaron Rodgers, who that dude is looking phenomenal. And I hate to admit it, but he is looking phenomenal. Their defense, yeah, we have the ability, especially if Taysom Hill is back for that game, if we make it to that. So I'm excited. I'm a little nervous, though. We'll see. And then I think, how would you feel if you're a Chiefs fan if you lose to the Browns because Holmes got hurt and it's not come back to the game? Because it's only 17-22. They're down by 1-4.
Yeah.
You know?
And Chad Henne is the quarterback. Yeah, anything can happen.
Anything can happen. So you got to go all
anything
year.
Can happen.
You got to go all year making that excuse. Well, Mahomes was out.
Yeah.
You know, which I'm just like, hey, I'm going to stop you right there. Are these all professional athletes, right? Like, yeah. We just didn't grab a quarterback off a high school team to come in and play. Or we didn't reach out to the fans. Who can throw? Come on down. Shoot up. These are all professionals. So you can't rock that excuse, you know, forever. Now, if you get robbed from a pass interference call, yes, all day long, you rock that all year. I've done it.
So I will say this, though. It's interesting thing about this is, for me, I would love to see the Browns. My team is out. So since my team is out, I would love to see the Browns do it. And yes, I would because I'm in Cleveland right now, right?
Yeah.
So therefore, just for the city, I'm not a big Baker fan, but Baker has done what he's supposed to do, especially in this game. And I think that, in all honesty, I'd love to see it happen for the team. However, my question comes down to you in this one. Who do you see? And I know you're going to be a little biased here because you're a Saints fan. What's the Super Bowl look like for you? What's your Super Bowl prediction? Let's do it now while we're here in the divisional round before we get to the championship games and we can see how right we are heading there.
So my Super Bowl prediction has remained what I said some weeks ago. Chiefs and Saints.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be a great, great game. It would have been the Super Bowl that was supposed to have happened before, you know, when they won in my mind. And you have kind of the young versus the old, because you notice that the NFC, it's all old quarterbacks.
All old quarterbacks, yeah.
Yeah. AFC, it's the young squad. So I would see that. Now, if we take it a step further, let's say the Chiefs lose this game. I don't see the Browns beating the Bills.
So here's a crazy thing about it. I think the Browns have a better chance to beat the Bills than they do the Chiefs, in the simple fact that the Bills have not played well at all. They have not put up the points that they've been putting up in the regular season. They have been very underwhelming in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I still think the Chiefs pull this off today. I'd love to see the Browns do it. I think the Chiefs go back to the Super Bowl. I think, and of course, this is no slight against you, but I think Green Bay goes. I think it is the State Farm Super Bowl with you know, Aaron Rodgers versus Pat Mahomes. Yep. And I think it's the return of discount double check. Aaron Rodgers gets his second Super Bowl ring, and he's not riding off into the sunset. He's going Brett Favre this shit all the way out. I honestly would like to see that. I don't want to see Pat Mahomes get the second back-to-back. That's just the hater in me from last year's Super Bowl. If we had won it last year, then fine, go win it this year. I'd like to see Aaron Rodgers do it.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have to disagree with you there. But which you knew, which you know would. I think the story for me would be Drew Brees wins, goes out, blades of glory, and then now becomes ESPN announcer. You know, I want to see that story. I think there's a lot of talent on the Saints team. And when we have kind of gritty, borderline, dirty playing defense, we tend to win. We tend to win. And we got that type of defense this year. So I want to see that. But, of course, I'm biased 100%. Kudos to Baker Mayfield, you know, for getting his team this far. Was not a fan of his in college, but happy to see what he's doing. Good job to Stephon Diggs. I still hate him when he was a Viking. But to see Buffalo, because I remember as a kid, you know, Buffalo was always there. I still remember that game with the Oilers and the Bills where it was like 31-3 or something, and the Bills came back.
Yep.
And every time, the back-to-back Super Bowls lose every single time.
Frank Reich holds the biggest comeback in NFL history and college history. He's now head coach for what? Indianapolis Colts. But to your point, I know you want the Saints to go. I still think that Green Bay beats the Saints. I do think the Saints win today. I do believe Aaron Rodgers at the end of that game in the NFC Championship takes a knee and goes, "See, you should have kneeled, Drew."
Now, what if it's Tampa Bay and Green Bay? Because you have Tom Brady and Gronk. They're used to playing in the cold.
Yeah.
It's no big deal to them, you know, and that's what Green Bay has in their favor is the elements, right? But do you see Green Bay beating the Buccaneers too?
Yep. Yep. I don't see Tampa Bay beating them, and I don't see the Saints beating them. I think the Saints will give them a tighter game, actually. So that's why I'm picking the Saints to go to the NFC Championship. No hate, you know.
Yep. All right. Well, you know, in a few hours we shall see.
So when this comes out, everybody, we're either very right or very wrong. Either way, my team's not in there, and you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
We know who's not going to the Super Bowl, the 49ers. Not this year.
No, not this year. So, so we'll know by tomorrow where we're at.
Then we're turning our heads to and our attention to NBA, which, I mean, to be quite honest, I don't pay attention to the NBA till the playoffs anyway. Yeah. 82-game season, I don't care for. I stopped caring about it since Jordan retired the second time. But there's been something that happened recently that a lot of folks are talking about. James Harden, the trade that's taken him from the Houston Rockets to the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, it's been ugly, right? And a lot of stuff has been coming out. You had DeMarcus Cousins was talking about how Harden was how he didn't show up during during the offseason workouts. He just really wasn't all that engaged. He came in, he didn't show up to camp. He comes in all overweight, just had this attitude. There's a lot of animosity within that locker room with Harden's antics and all his partying and all that stuff. So a lot of hate coming out of the city of Houston. But Harden goes over, plays his first game with the Nets, and triple-double. Wow. Almost gets quadruple double. The dude was lights out. And so that's going to be interesting to see. The challenge is will that team dynamic work? Because you have Kevin Durant, phenomenal Hall of Famer.
Yep.
And you got James Harden, who I don't really like him. And I don't have a reason why I don't like him, but I'm sure he'll be a Hall of Famer. Then you have crazy Kyrie Irving, right? Who is just on a whole nother level. I don't know what's going on in that dude's head. And he didn't want to play second fiddle to LeBron. Don't think you're going to be the main guy in Brooklyn when you have James Harden and Kevin Durant on your team, you're not going to be the number one scorer.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Brooklyn because, you know, they got their three, their big three that they needed, which is that's what seems to be needed for the NBA now. NBA success, you need that. By the way, Brown's interception in the end zone of Chad Henne. I knew Henne thing could happen.
Did it?
8 minutes left in the game, and then they're still down by five. But yeah, interesting. But to this point, I just think that just what it did, regardless, I think it put some excitement in the East. Because let's be honest, everybody's looking at the West as to what's going to happen. There's nothing in the East. You know, the Bucks are going to be there. People are saying maybe the Celtics. But and with Doc Rivers now in Philly, yeah, cool. But other than that, all the attention's in the West. You know, what's Golden State going to do? Then you've got the Lakers. The Clippers are out of the question now. So what's really going to happen?
No, I agree with you about, you know, where teams are. The Warriors aren't what they used to be. My Lakers are still going to look like they're dominating, and that's great. It's going to be an interesting season to see what happens with Brooklyn, because I think if they're able to mesh and play well, that team is going to be deadly. Yeah. If they can play well together in the same sandbox, that's the challenge, is can you put your ego aside and focus on winning a championship? If not, James Harden will be one of those NBA greats who never won a ring.
Yep.
And you don't want to be that guy. Kyrie has a ring. He has nothing to lose. He could totally retire right now. He's still the champion. Kevin Durant totally has rings. He can retire right now if he wants. Still a champion. Only one that doesn't is James Harden. So if he puts his ego aside and plays ball, that team could be deadly. They're young. You know, they have a whole lot of talent there. So,
yeah.
Interesting season.
It makes it interesting because Durant is going to be your guy. And that's what they all need to realize. Durant is your shooter. Just like if they follow what Golden State did, it's easy for them to be the number one seed. Durant's your guy. You're the number two and number three. That's where Kyrie and Harden need to be. They need to understand number two, number three. Look at when LeBron, Wade, and Bosch went down to Miami. That's what it was. You know, it was Wade's team. He handed it over to LeBron. You're going to be the guy, you know?
Yep.
And they played that way. And that's what it takes. You look at what Boston did with their big three. So, you know, it's if they handle that big three properly, it's a great move. It's just going to be pretty interesting to see how this plays out and what kind of animosity develops in the locker room. And, you know, even bringing up Boston here, here's an interesting one. And I know a lot of simple Black history facts. For those in Charleston, remember, we used to do for a long time Black history trivia every day on my show, right? And in the afternoon traffic jam. And interesting thing that's happening in Boston, not in basketball, we're shifting, which, by the way, you think about Boston and what Boston Celtics did with black players, black coaches. Mm-hmm. You don't think of Boston nowadays and think, hey, you know, great advancements in civil rights. And for black people, you don't think that route. But when you look at the Boston Celtics, which in the 80s was really seen as a very white team and very white city, there were a lot of black firsts, including in hockey, where the first black player in the NHL was Willie O'Ree, who played for the Boston Bruins. He was number 22 for the Boston Bruins back in 1958. He retired, I think, in 1979. An interesting thing, because this show is out on January 18th, MLK Day 2021.
Mm-hmm.
He debuted for the Boston Bruins on January 18th, 1958.
Oh, wow.
So interesting that here it is that we're having this conversation here today, and the fact that MLK Day is also on this day. But he was also inducted into NHL Hall of Fame back in 2018. Well, they are retiring his jersey next month on the 18th, February 18th at a home game, and putting his jersey up in the rafters. So, you know, just want to make sure that we acknowledge Willie O'Ree and his contributions to the NHL, and you'll see people like PK Subban, who is one of the black players and superstars in the NHL right now, and he's the one that broke that color barrier. He was the Jackie Robinson of the NHL. So
yeah, wow, no, that's a great story. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do when they said they're retiring his jersey, right?
Yeah.
Yep, I'd love to see that ceremony.
Yeah, so it's great to see that, and I'm really excited for him on that one. saw this interesting story as well, too, man. I know we haven't done this in a while, and it's Terrell's Tips. We want to see what you have to say on this, because this was like an advice column. Remember those things?
Yeah.
And people used to write to this thing called the newspaper. I don't know if you've ever heard of this before. You remember this? It used to be like in the times of the rotary phone, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you'd write in about an issue that was going through. And one of these issues that was written to this this publication was actually about their manager during this time, during, you know, quarantine. And it was their first time as a manager, and that they were just managing a one-person team. And so the person writing this in was that one-person team. And the fact that they were just constantly complaining about what was happening. Hey, how's your day going? Man, you wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
And it just felt like this person just wasn't delegating, wasn't giving enough instruction. And they felt like they were trying to lead the manager. And yeah. I think you've been in a management position for quite a long time. What advice would you give to new managers in dealing with stress? Because this has been a very stressful time. And not just in this time, but in general. Or if you're a new manager, because this person's a new manager. What kind of advice would you give to a new manager?
So I think for new managers, it's a few things. Number one, always vent up. Don't vent down. So if you're stressed out, you're dealing with a whole lot of crazy stuff, it's really hard, complain up. Never complain down. Your team shouldn't know the stress that you're feeling, because A, it's going to make them feel like you're a bit of a complainer. I can't go to you with my problem, because you're going to come back with another problem. Then the other thing it does is it makes them say, God, I don't want to work my way up into leadership. This is BS up here. If it's this crazy, I don't want to deal with it. And it's like, not that leadership is bad. It's just that leader is struggling. So number one, I think vent up. The other thing that for a new leader, new leaders have to remember that they're the pace setter, right? Yeah. So they set the tone. And so if you're coming in all frantic, you're going to make your people act all frantic. If you're coming in all stressed and tense, then they're going to come in all stressed and tense. Mm-hmm. So you got to control that. And then the third thing is you got to remember that your team doesn't give a shit about your problems, because you're the leader. So you either make more, right? Yep. You have more responsibility. You're delegating stuff. They don't care about what's going on in your world, and they shouldn't have to. Your job as a leader is to care more about them than to make them understand your feelings and what's going on with you. So I think for new managers, I think those three points are a great start, especially when you're taking over a new team, and especially managing a team in COVID. Everybody's dealing with stuff. Everybody has stuff going on. You have some of your employees could be losing family members to the pandemic. Some of them are going crazy because they've been stuck inside all the time. I mean, they're dealing with things too. And so, you know, the one quote I've always remembered that someone taught me a long time ago is, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Focus on that. Show how much you care about your people. Then things will work out. But they don't give a shit about your problems.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You talk about vent up. And it's because one of the reasons to vent up is because those above you have probably gone through the exact same thing that you're going through at this point. And if you're just venting to vent, that explains why you're venting down.
Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't be the complainer. You should be the problem solver. And to me, it's never about, we got an issue. Okay, let's fix it. And then we'll figure out everything else after that.
Yep.
And if you're looking for solutions, then that's why you vent up, for that reason, because that somebody else may have gone through it. Or vent up or across.
Yep.
But never down. Because
never down.
Yeah, there are people who are going through the same things you are, and that's they can help you, or they can give you advice. Here's how you handle this situation. Here's what to do here. Here's how to better manage your time. I've been asked that question by people who are new in their management roles. Yeah. And like, how do I manage my time? Trust me, you will get to it. But here's what you do in the meantime to get there. Here's a couple tips. And they're all simple. It sounds so easy. And you go, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
I love that when you say, especially vent up. It's so true. What about mistakes you've made as a manager, as a first-time manager? Like for me, I think the easiest thing was saying not delegating enough. It's like, all right, I want to show I know how to do this. And I think that came from working in the management training program at Kroger, which what they did, they put you, it was very, as I think about it now, it was much like the military.
Yeah.
When you go into the military and you go into training, into officer training school, or you go to ROTC training camp, you're being taught by enlisted folks. So you're being taught by people that you could eventually lead.
Yep.
But then you have to learn to listen to them. And they're teaching you how to lead them.
Yep.
And that's what happens with Kroger. They put you in each department. You got to learn how to run each department, get up, work with the bakery staff and the deli staff and the meats and all these different departments and in produce. And you learn what they do.
Right.
So that you can step in at any time and fill these roles if you have to. If they need an extra helping hand, you don't need to go into produce and go, where did tomatoes go again?
Yeah.
But you understand what's happening. It's just to get a better understanding. So I think that was where, for me, that was an interesting thing of making sure to delegate even more. And the key thing for me was thinking like me. I don't need I hate too many pats on the back.
Because
I know I'm not doing everything right. So
yeah.
I never needed a lot of positive feedback. I just tell me what I need to fix. That's the key thing for me. And I think for me, when I first started, was I was telling people what they need to fix, and it sounded like, okay, here's all the shit you're doing wrong, and the good shit you're doing, whatever. And so I had to get in that mindset of, okay, no, you've still got to fluff people with the stuff that's good stuff. Give them the positive feedback, and then throw in some bad. I think one of the things that someone told me once was 5-1. 5 good things to every 1 bad thing. And I go, that's so uneven because I can't think of 5 good things next to these 10 bad things to go. So I can't come up with 50. But we got to dish it out. What's the most important bad thing we need to work on first?
Yeah, no. Well, see, it's funny. As you talk about that, it brings me to 2 thoughts. One being, my biggest failure, my first time as a leader. But the second one was just what you're talking about in this feedback. Right. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times that the mistakes leaders make is not giving people the honest feedback. If Johnny sucks, tell Johnny he sucks.
Yep.
And that way, if he's going to grow, give him tools to help him grow, but he might suck. Right. Mm-hmm. And so you look at, I can put you on the Los Angeles Lakers team. I can have you train with Shaq. You can eat everything he eats, take all the supplements, be in the gym. You will never be able to stop Dwight Howard from dunking on you. Just not. Because that's just not for you. I need to tell you that instead of trying to help you be the center that you're never going to be. And a lot of times leaders don't want to do that. And then I hate the feedback sandwich. Don't give me any positives to the negative. Just give me the negative. Just say it to them. Rip the Band-Aid and just say it to them. To me, good leaders do that. The ones who are scared don't. My biggest lesson in leadership was really about, which is why I'm the leader I am today. I'm very passionate about the people on my team. Mm-hmm. Because this goes back to many, many years when I was at Sonic. So I got promoted to my first GM spot of a Sonic in San Antonio. Now, I started at Sonic in high school, so I knew how to do all the different stations, right? I could make hot dogs, burgers, milkshakes, you name it, I could do it. And I was good at it, right? And so in my mind was, I don't care about you people. If you don't like your job, quit, right? If you don't like it, quit. Here's what I'm telling you to do.
I remember this guy.
Yeah. Here's what I'm telling you to do. This is the job. I'm not scared to do your job. And and I was young, single, full of piss and vinegar. I was like, I'll stay in clothes. I don't give a shit. I'm not scared of you quitting. So don't threaten me. Well, I had this issue going on with my kitchen staff, and they kept trying to bring it to my attention. But here I was, this cocky, I knew everything kind of manager, where in the middle of a dinner shift, they all walked out.
Oh, wow.
And so cars are pulling up. They're pressing the button. I'm taking orders. I'm running back. I'm making burgers. And I got through the rush by myself. Wow. And as soon as I was done, I walked back into the kitchen. I leaned up against the cooler, slid down, just sat on the floor and realized, Terrell, you're an idiot. That was the worst feeling ever, because keep in mind, they didn't come back. So I had to keep cooking. I had to manage. I had to clean and close the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I had to do all that stuff by myself. And it was a huge lesson for me to learn that the people that work for you are important, no matter what their title is, no matter how much they make, they are very important to you. You want to make sure you take care of them as best as you can. And that lesson has followed me everywhere I've gone. Even if I don't like you on my team, I'm still going to try to figure out how to help you and coach you, because that's my job as a leader to do. We don't have to be BFFs, but it's my job as a leader to help coach you up. And get you to where you need to be. But man, that was a rough lesson that I worked my ass off putting burgers and stuff together and fries. And when they first left, I was like, I ain't scared. I can do this myself. At about an hour of that, brother was done.
There's no I in team, Terrell.
No.
Rule number one.
Yeah, no.
I can do it myself. No, we can do it. Oh, great lesson learned. Yeah, so, you know, a lot of interesting stories out there. And this bullshit, oh, my God. I can't believe this is actually, you know what? I take that back.
I can. I can believe it.
Yeah, I would say I take that back. I think I can believe this, too. I saw the headline, swingers arrested at a super spreader event. Really? So yeah. It's COVID and we're having a swingers party. What the hell are people thinking?
Well, they're thinking they've been cooped up with the same partner and they want to get back to some fun. You know, so hey, you know, don't hate if you're not into swingers. I've met a few swingers. I've had some in-depth conversations with them. And to me, I get it. Right now, during a pandemic. Here's things we don't know. What if everybody got tested and did a rapid test an hour before the event and had to get, you know, you can only get in if you showed your negative result. But then, hey, swing away, you know, swing away. Why sure. not? Yeah, why not? But if you're risking it, but you don't know if everybody in there was safe, like to me, that's the unknown. But let's just say they didn't do that. Well, then you're idiots. That's just stupid. Why would you risk your health? Not only your health from COVID, but your health from anything, right? Unless you knew that everybody was clean. Because they have been, and I'm sure you've heard of this, there have been people that have, since COVID and the quarantine, people have put together little pods. And so their pods is their little bubble of friends that they only get together with each other. And, you know, no other person come into it. They're not hanging out in anyone else's place. So that way they're still feeding that social interaction need that we as humans have.
So have a swing pod.
Right. Maybe there was a swing pod, you know. But the funny thing about swingers, it's like when you think of swingers, these aren't like, you would think that these super spreader parties are going to be these, you know, high school, college kids, people in their 20s. No, swingers are normally old school, you know, 40s. 50.
Like the nude beaches.
Yeah. They got the sag. They don't give a shit. They're just like, hey, what up?
Why is your ball sack touching the ground?
Yeah, man, this is eight. This is what happens. But I still like to do freaky things, and I'm 60. Get in here, you know?
HBO Real Sex taught you that real quick, you know?
Yeah.
All these new games for all old-ass people.
Yeah, you know, and so that's my question for that event. When I saw that story, I'm like, how stupid. But I had to, like, process it for a second. I'm like, what if everybody was tested, had rapid tests before they went in?
So that's a great question. First of all, let's just get this out of the way. I'm definitely not for swinging. I'm too selfish for that crap. I'm not sharing my wife, my girlfriend, my partner with anybody. And that's, you know, I mean, there are a couple. Back in the day, there have been some exceptions to the rule, but there was no commitment. So this. Let's just get that out before somebody's like, well, you know, I remember. Get out the comments. But I will say this. How did they find this swinging party? Because if it is this close-knit of people, who on the investigative team, who on the police squad, left off the invite that's usually on the invite that went, oh, hell no, we're going to break this shit up.
Yeah, there was somebody that was like, hey, we're having a swingers party. Don't tell Bob. Let's keep it on down. Bob found out, and he's like, I'm going to phone in an anonymous tip.
Yep.
Swingers party happening. Because it ain't like there's signage, right?
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, your big welcome to the swingers party 2021.
Just a swing on the outside.
Yeah, there's no signage for it. It's kind of on the DL. So somebody who didn't get invited, or maybe somebody's spouse who no longer wants to be in the swinger scene and was like, well, I'm going to shut this shit down right now. You know, so somebody had to rat them out.
Yeah.
You know, I've been invited to swingers parties in my lifetime. Never been to one, but I've been invited. And I've been invited as simple as, here's a flyer. We're having a party. you want to come, you have to bring a female with you. Like, just straight up, right? So it's not like it's this secretive, you know, this website, you got to do this and put in your credit card and then you find out where the swingers party is. It's not like that. Mm-hmm. And people in that lifestyle, I mean, they're not ashamed to do it. So somebody, I think that my guess is somebody who used to be a part of the clique but got booted out, or maybe somebody who doesn't want, maybe caught feelings and they don't want the people to hook up with their person. I have no idea, but.
So we're not going to skate past the fact that you got an invite before. So why didn't you go?
You know, I didn't go because, truth be told, I didn't have one that would come with me. I didn't have anybody that would come with me. And that's kind of a weird ask to be like, hey, what are you doing on a Saturday at 3 o'clock?
Why do you ask?
I have this thing I was invited to. Could really use a plus one.
Oh my God. That's how you go full circle. Yeah. That's how you start the show and end the show. God damn it. That's old Dave Chappelle type shit. And that was not planned. For those watching this and listening to this, that was not planned. That's just how this shit works.
Yeah, but that's why I didn't go. I was like, this could be weird. I don't know these people. And then the location of it was some kind of ranch house off of 35 out in the middle of nowhere. And I'm just like, obviously Get Out wasn't around when that time came, but that was a Get Out moment. Like, I don't know if I should go, because what if this is an invite? They're telling me it's a swingers party. But when I get there, it's like, we got them.
It's a different kind of swinging party.
Yeah, it's a different type of swinging party in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, I don't know. But the real truth be told was I didn't have a plus one that I could find in time to go with me.
All right. Look, before we get out of here, man, we've talked about it very, very quickly. But today is, as the podcast is released every Monday, it's Martin Luther King Day. And, you know, hopefully people are spending the day doing positive things and including sharing the words. And I figured we should do our part. What's your favorite quote?
Yeah, mine was, and it really, I think, resonates with me what's going on in our world. Not only just today, but, you know, since March 2020. Yeah. The limitation of riots, moral questions aside, is that they cannot win and their participants know it. Hence, rioting is not revolutionary, but reactionary, because it invites defeat. It involves an emotional catharsis, but it must be followed by a sense of futility. And I'm thinking about all these different riots and protests that we have. It's very reactionary, but at the end of the day, what does it solve? It's brought on some great conversations, especially the ones that dealt with race and women's rights and things like that. It's brought a lot of good dialogue that I think that's happened. But when you look at who gets hurt, who gets injured in the process, you got to think, what is it doing? Especially the insurrection. It really made me think about those folks, because what did it really do for you and your cause? Nothing. And your cause wasn't, you know, racial justice. Your cause wasn't equal treatment of women, equal treatment of LGBTQ. It was, I don't believe the election results, and this is bullshit, and all of you guys are against us. And so that there's nothing positive that came from that.
Right. My quote, and I've always loved this one. I think it stands in this time and at any given time. It's the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. I think we're always facing some sort of challenge. As Black men, I think we do face a lot of controversy. Mm-hmm. In our daily life, but at the same time, there's always a challenge. And that's just, as human beings, there is a challenge, whether it's a personal challenge, whether it's a professional challenge. How do you overcome that? And it's the reason I'm this glass half full type person. And the reason why I don't think of, all right, let's complain about this problem. And I think you and I used to have these conversations at UTSA, and remember leaving from there and carrying that with me when people are like, well, I hate this and this and this and this. And like, all right, so what are we going to do to solve it? Oh, well, I don't know. Then stop complaining. What are you complaining for? If you don't have a solution, it could be the stupidest solution ever, but at least have one.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, the solution for some people was to storm the Capitol. It was a stupid solution, but they had one. And that's my main thing, is what's the solution? Because just complaining to complain means nothing. Is what are you going to do when challenge and controversy comes up? How do you plan to get past it? How do you plan to rise above it? How do you plan to succeed? Do you have a solution?
Yeah, no, you're very, very true. And I think you got to get away from it's toxic people like that. Yeah. Like those people who constantly complain, they're a virus and they're just trying to find another host. Yeah. Right. And so you got to keep those people out of your life. I had one friend of mine, she said this phrase and I just loved it. You got to love that person with the long spoon. You know, I got to keep you at a distance because of what you bring. Right. And there's so many people that are just that negative that you're 100% right. You know, who you have around you says a lot about who you are, you know, as a person. And they positively influence you or they can negatively influence you.
The thing you just said really hits home for me because I remember having this conversation with a coworker once and I had to say, look, I can't live in this negative space with you. If I start to get into that space, if I fit in that space right there, I need to start looking for a new job.
Yep.
And I like what I do. So I can't live in this space with you because the minute you get into that negative space, everything, no matter what it is. And I remember saying this when I was leaving one place, moving on to the next. And I was like, whatever you do, make sure you're looking at the glass half full, not half empty, because the glass is always going to be half empty. If somebody fills it up, you go, oh my God, it's too full. Now it's going to overflow. And so you're going to find something to complain about. If you're, if it's half full, there's always an opportunity. So look at it that way. So that just really hit home for me. I'm glad you said that, because that really is one of those things. That's just like, yeah, I don't live in that negative space. It is a virus. It is a parasite. And you know what happens when parasites get in you? They're going to take over.
Yeah.
They take over the whole body. And now you become this negative Nancy. And, you know.
Good. Well, I'm glad you listened to some of the things that I say. I like that.
Yeah. Was that you? What are you saying about that, huh? Let's get the hell out of here before you think of something else to make it all about tarot.
You see, the Chiefs held on.
Yeah, they did. What you drinking there, brother?
Same old Basil Hayden. About to finish this bottle.
See, I knew you would get to it at some point.
Well, see, my trick is I don't have the discipline to buy a whole bunch of alcohol. I spend too many options. It makes me feel like I'm at Cheesecake Factory. It's just menus too big. So I like to have one, and I'm just going to finish that one. So
is it bad that when you said all those options, I was thinking the Bunny Ranch instead of the Cheesecake Factory?
That's where your mind goes. You know, that's totally fine.
I missed that show. I'm back to my bullet bourbon barrel strength.
Yeah.
And doing some brown for the Browns. The Browns, it's official, lost 22-17, but a hell of a season. Great job. So we'll do some brown for the Browns.
Brown for the Brown. And then here's, of course, to one of my frat brothers, Martin Luther King Jr., and everything that he stood for and died for. Hopefully we have a peaceful week this week.
Indeed. Indeed, indeed. I'm Yanni Rood.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Remember to follow us at Yanni Rood, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yes. Send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit. We'll talk about it on the show.
And remember to comment. Yeah.
Please.
Comment.
Like, subscribe, comment.
Yeah. It is the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.